You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer Out West, hosted by normally Bobby Jean and Jim Bell. And as you might have guessed, I'm not either one of them. I'm Tom Swearingen, and I'm real honored to have been asked by Bobby Jean and Bell and Jim to guest host tonight. I've done this a couple, three times before, and it's an honor to be asked again. They live in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area, and the home of the International Balloon Fiesta, which is happening right now, and they are quite involved in that. So ask me if I can fill in for them tonight, which I was happy to do. Also want to mention that that music that you hear on the in the opening, that's the normal theme music, courtesy of Hot Texas Swing Band. And that title of that cut is Hot Texas. So when Bobby Jean and Jim ask me to guest host, they give me the privilege of inviting my choice of guests. And tonight, it's my great pleasure to welcome as my guest, Claudia Nygaard. Hello, Claudia.
Hello, how are you?
And I'm doing great. Claudia, I'm in Tualatin, Oregon, a little south of Portland, Oregon, on the West Coast. And Claudia is in Nashville, Tennessee, which is her home. And she's just returned home from a very interesting trip that we're going to talk about more in a little bit. But if you're not familiar with Claudia, I want to read to you a little bit of a bio. I've had the pleasure of seeing Claudia perform. She's a songwriter, singer-songwriter, and more. But I've seen her sing several times and have had the pleasure of sharing a stage with her. I'm a cowboy poet performer, and we've done some shows together, and those have always been fun. And anytime I have a chance to be in an audience where Claudia is singing, I definitely want to be there, and I'm going to make her. Well, she's got a guitar in her lap, so she's well prepared to sing for us tonight, which everybody will find a treat. But let me tell you a little bit about Claudia Nygaard. She is a mesmerizing, that's a good word, right? She is a mesmerizing storyteller and lyricist who writes songs that are heartfelt, humorous, scrappy, and sensual. And now she's added playwright to her resume, and we'll be talking about that tonight, as well as the songwriting. Building on the craft she learned as a staff songwriter on Nashville's Music Row, she has won numerous awards, including the prestigious Kerrville Folk Festival Songwriting Competition. And with the title cut of her latest album, Lucky Girl, the Tumbleweed Music Festival Songwriting Competition. Lucky Girl, which I have a copy of right here, it's a great, great album. Charted at number 3 on the Folk Alliance Radio Song Chart, number 5 on the album chart, and gave her a significant debut on the Americana chart. It also received impressive reviews from the press. Legendary folk music magazine Sing Out claimed the songs, quote, rival the likes of Guy Clark or Ian Tyson, end quote. That's pretty high praise, Claudia.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, it might be embarrassing, but it's well deserved. Because you can write amazingly well, and have the credit credentials and whatnot to back up the claim that you're really good at what you do. And this show is all about writing, so we're gonna talk about that whole process and so on. But I know I'm really interested in, maybe before we talk about songwriting, I'm really interested in you sharing with folks your latest adventure as a playwright. And if I'm not mistaken, you just returned from your debut of your musical. Tell us about that.
Yes, I had the premiere in Massachusetts, a theater up there presented it. I started writing, somebody asked me, I was being interviewed by a magazine up there, and I said, you know, actually, the songs wrote the play. You know, the songs came first. I just had this one song that I don't know where it came from. I don't even know why. I wasn't even thinking about writing a children's musical. But the song was, "You Just Don't Seem to Be Yourself Tonight." And then I got to thinking about how great that would be for Little Red Riding Hood to sing to the wolf when he's dressed up as grandmother. And so then that, from there, it was like when that song was done, then I started thinking about these different characters. And, you know, when you're a child, you just listen to the story and you go, "Oh, okay," and then you're done. Well, now I'm looking back and realizing that I identified a lot with Little Red Riding Hood. She was always getting in trouble, and she was very independent and kind of fearless. And so that kind of hit awfully close to home for me. And so I think that was part of why I was so attracted to her story when I was little. But as I started writing these songs, that it's like the characters kind of fleshed out. You know, they started being like people I knew. And then the songs kind of got a little, they got to be really individual, you know. And there started being life lessons in this, which I thought was kind of a good idea for kids. I don't have any kids myself, so I have to just, you know, spread this wise woman stuff I got, you know, from all this time. But anyway, I just found that I was writing kind of like giving advice writing.
Let me ask you a question. So this is a children's musical. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in knowing, well, that has to be a different process. And I don't know, you just woke up one day and said, "I'm going to write a play. I'm going to write a musical." Did you have theater background or training?
Well, yeah.
In?
Actually, I have a degree in theater.
Well, there you go.
Used.
Oh, well, now you've used
full
it.
Full circle. What was really interesting is that I fell in love with this guy who was a songwriter, and right out of college, I had a job doing the weather on TV. So I went from college to that. I did that for about 3 years, and I met this guy about the time I got laid off at Channel 11. And then I ended up being really influenced by him. I always had loved to sing. I'd always sung, you know, in high school and everything. And that just kind of took over. And I never did anything with my my degree until now. And so when I started writing it, I just, as I said, I got that one song, "You Just Don't Seem to Be Yourself Tonight." And it came out funny, you know. I started having funny lines in it and stuff. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, you know. And so then I started thinking about these other characters, and then two or three more songs came in, and then I thought, okay, I guess I'm writing a children's musical at this point. And then it started, I started really fleshing out the characters, and I really wanted to, like, Little Red Riding Hood, her thing is that she pays attention to her intuition, and when she feels like she's in danger, she runs, you know. And then the wolf does a song about this little tree that survives the mother tree. I had already written that song because I wrote it for a live hospice for the children's grief camp. So I had that one. And so I had, when I got "You Just Don't Seem to Be Yourself Tonight," and then I was going through some songs and I ran across that one. I thought, well, she does go through a forest, you know, maybe. And so then the woodsman ended up being the one who sings this song to her because he's telling her about the circle of life. And so that kind of fell in there. And so I really had two songs right from the get-go before I even thought about writing a musical. And then as the story progressed, I started getting these more, as I got more songs, then the song is kind of like, I had to get from this song to this song, so I had to write the part in between, and then this song to this song. And then I did it for a while, I did it several times as a narration, you know, where I would tell the story. It was storytelling with music, you know, I'd tell the story and then I'd play the song. Well, then last March, I was playing up in Massachusetts and I was doing this thing for International Women's Day for a radio station up there, WLMR. And I was there for a few days afterwards and I went by this theater to see if I could get a booking doing my storytelling thing with playing the songs, you know. And she said, "Do you have a script for this?" And is this a little lie? And I said, "Oh, yeah." And then she said, "I'd love to read the script." So I went home and wrote it. I mean, it wasn't really that I had to write it. I just had to fit it together so that it was dialogue instead of storytelling, you know.
Okay.
And all. And I knew how to do that from theater, you know. From
my well, I want to ask another follow-up question or two just for a couple minutes. And then we are going to need to take a little quick commercial break. And then when we come back from that, maybe you could share some of that narration and some of the song.
Yeah.
But maybe I missed it, but the time frame from when you started this, the idea of, when it had to become a play, the writing of that, you have to write the stage direction and
was already written when I had to write the script. So it was just a matter of, you know, inserting, blocking stage cues, you know, lights come up, lights go down, you know, they open scene one, they're, you know, the townspeople are, you know, gathering in the center of the stage and that sort of thing. So it was mostly just sort of like giving directions on how to get to the restaurant, you know, because I already knew where the restaurant was. I just had to tell them where it was. So that's kind of what happened. I mean, when I first wrote the song, I didn't play it anywhere. I had already written the Evergreen song, which I did from time to time. But when I wrote Just Don't Seem to Be Yourself, then I didn't have any reason to play it, so I didn't play it anywhere. And then I think I had done some things at my church. I have a couple of children's kind of gospel songs. They're just little bits of gospel. They're you know, there's one called "God Said, Noah, Would You Build Me a Boat? Make it big as a barn and make sure it floats." You know, it's just a simple little thing that I used to sing during vacation Bible school with the kids. So I had three or four songs for that were gospel songs. So it wasn't that big of a stretch. I think maybe that was what was in the back of my mind, that I should do a whole thing of gospel songs, a whole album of children's gospel songs or something. And then this started gelling and that. Actually, what I should do first is I should do Little Red Riding Hood, because this would be a really good idea. And so I started writing, and I kept writing and writing and writing until I had like five songs. And then I started doing it as a narration. And I would do it at festivals. I'd do a children's show in the daytime and then play my regular show at night. And so then when I got a chance to do the play, the festivals, and I was playing it live, I thought, this is really too much talking at the beginning without getting to a song. I thought, I need an opening number. And then I got the idea that it, you know, it should be about the Cape. So the song ended up being, "It's All About the Cape." The chorus is, "It's a charming fashion statement from the hem up to the nape. This coming season, outerwear is all about the Cape."
There you go.
So then so it ended up with six songs. So that's when, that was the most recent thing I did before I actually wrote the script.
All right.
Added that other song.
Well, that's a pretty good little spot for us to stop. I want to, maybe we can hear either that or something else from that. And we're going to go to a little commercial from the folks who bring this to us all.
Okay.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer, explore curated book lists and our featured picks, add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles, one-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Well, there you go. All right.
Cool.
So I did look up a little blurb on your debut, and tell me if this was a good description. It's not a review of it. It's just a description. That Little Red Riding Hood, performed by a full cast that includes Red, the wolf, Grandma, the woodcutter, townspeople, and an assortment of woodland animals. The actors performed songs with Claudia handling narration, musical geared for children. So did the kids act out the wolf and Red or Grandma?
Oh, yeah.
Or was that you? That wasn't you doing the...
No, they did it all. It was great. The wolf was fabulous. I've actually shot a video of it, so I'm hoping to have that edited by Christmas or so.
Okay.
Six cameras and seven or six performances and five cameras. So
when
take a while.
When you were doing this before the musical as a narration, then you were doing those. My guess is that you were doing those voices.
Mm-hmm. I was doing everything and doing such a little character voice. Granny talked like this, you know, and the wolf was kind of a cross between Professor Snape and Jack Benny.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you got to give us a sample of that.
Okay, you want me to do the narration?
No, I just want to hear a sample of, you've teased us with what that sounds like, and I want to know if it matches my imagination.
Okay, so right before the song that I'm going to play in a minute is when what happens is the wolf wants to get to grandmother's house first so he can eat grandmother and then have Red for dessert. So he's going to tell her the long way around, to get to grandmother's house, so he takes the shortcut. See? So he says, "Why, yes, I believe I do know that house. You see that stump over there, child?" The wolf points to the stump on the right. "Just to the right of it, there's a path that will lead you all the way to your grandmother's." "Oh, thank you, Mr. Wolf. You are so kind."
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Fun.
All right. Okay. Well, why don't you play something? Yeah, do
Let
something
me do the narration
from the
into the song.
Yeah. Cool.
This is what happens right after that. I'll just tell you. As soon as Red was out of sight, the wolf turned on his heel and headed down the shortcut to Granny's. He knew in his heart he was about to do a very, very bad thing, but he wasn't listening to his heart. He plodded through the forest, whining to himself about how he never got a break and how misunderstood he was, and mostly about how nobody liked him. If he was smart, he would have asked himself why people didn't like him, and then he would have realized it was because he was eating their children. And he could have changed his behavior and become a popular fellow. But you have to admit you've made a mistake to correct it. And all the way to grandmother's house, Wolf was way too busy singing to himself about how sorry he felt for himself to be able to do that. And this is the song he was singing. "Everybody thinks I'm a slob just 'cause I ain't got no job. I'm so blue. Everybody thinks I'm a jerk. They think I'm lazy 'cause I never work. I'm so blue. I don't know what's eating them, except for me and a few of my kin. They're all saying that I'm too wild just because my dinner was their child. I'm so blue. Everybody thinks I'm so dumb, 'cause I ain't got an opposing thumb. I'm so blue. They're criticize the way I look, and 'cause my dinner is never cooked. I'm so blue. I don't know what's eating them, except for me and a few of my kin. They're all saying that I'm too wild just because my dinner was their child. I'm so blue. Nobody seems to like me. I ain't got no friends. I'm so blue.
Hey, that's wonderful, Claudia.
Thanks. So in the show, he sings that, you know, that song, The Wolf Does. And, oh, he was great. They're all teenagers in the show. They're all teens and preteen. You know, they're like 13 to 17 or something. And when the chorus comes, I don't know what's eating them except for me. There's this, all these girls come out in these little wolf ears and tails. They're in black leotards. They got little wolf ears and wolf tails, and they come out like this, you know, and they sing the chorus with them and everything. Oh, it was just a blast. It was so fun. It really was fun. It's really interesting. It's a lot like songwriting. It's the same process when you write a script, because when you do a play, it's like when you write the song, you have this rush, this endorphin rush that you get, you know, when you write the song, and it's like, whoa, and now that song exists and it didn't used to, you know? And then you get the same kind of rush when you play it in front of people for the first time, and you have that connectivity with an audience. And then when you go in the studio, then it's no longer just your song, because the drummer puts his part down, he decides where the pocket is, and the bass player decides how it's going to roll, and then the guitar player is going to add his little thing, and maybe you have a fiddle on it or a pedal steel, whatever you have on it. It's everybody adds their creativity on top of your creativity. And doing a play is the same thing. It's like I wrote these songs. I never visualized these girls coming down the stairs singing the chorus with, you know, their ears on and everything. I didn't imagine it except as a solo. And so there was all kinds of things that happened like that. There was some, I had written it that when the wolf goes into grandmother's bedroom, she hits him with a pillow, you know. But the actor that was playing grandma was actually a little boy. Not real little. I mean, he was probably, I don't know, 12 or 14, somewhere in there. But anyway, he walked with a cane, you know, and he had a wig on and everything. He wore a nightgown the whole time, and he's walking again. Well, he created this thing where the wolf comes into the bedroom. And the wolf is, of course, stupid because, you know, if you're going to be eating people with children, you have to be stupid to do that. So the wolf knocks on the door, and grandmother says, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's me, the wolf." She says, "The wolf? Little Red Riding Hood. That's right, I'm Little Red Riding Hood," you know. And so she says, "Oh, well, come in then, dear." And so then grandmother, so then the wolf goes into grandmother's bedroom, and grandmother looks at him. She says, "You're not my granddaughter. You're a wolf." And he starts hitting him with the cane, which I had not written in the script, and it was hilarious. This because he's about half the size of the other kid anyway, you know. So he looks like a little grandmother, just feisty little grandmother, you know, beating him with the stick and everything. And then I had this one line that I had put in there. And he was kind of throwing the line away, saying it to his shoes, and I had to explain to him what it meant and that he should deliver it right to the audience. Because I rehearsed with him for about 3 days before the show opened. And the line I've had a wolf in my bedroom before, but the last one was a lot better looking. Well, the audience lost it. I mean, it was so great. I had not thought it. I mean, I thought it was funny when I wrote it, you know, but it's so unexpected because it's coming from a child, for one thing. And it's, you know, you don't expect this child to deliver this line. And it was just, it's adults who bring these kids to the show. So you got to throw them a bone once in a while, you know, something for them. So they just howled, and I was laughing. They made me laugh, and I can hardly get on with the show. they were laughing.
How did that particular theater group in Massachusetts come to do the debut? How did that end up from you in Nashville to it being done there?
So, well, it's really interesting. Well, I went there during in March for International Women's Day show, and I went by the theater, and I asked if I could. If she'd be interested in having me do a storytelling thing on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon the next time I came up. And then she was interested. She wanted to know if I had a script.
So I see. Okay.
I went home and sent her the script, and then she wrote back and she says, "I really want to do this." She says, "I love these songs. It's a great script."
Yeah.
And I was just like floating for weeks, you know, just like, oh, wow. So it was really a trip. But what's really interesting is that my very first paid gig ever was that same weekend, the first weekend in October, on Cape Cod. And 50 years later, to the week, I'm back to doing theater.
Full circle.
Yeah. It just blew my mind. It was like, I think this might have been meant to be.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was really, really a surprise. I was thrilled that she wanted to do it that way. And it worked so well. It was really good. It was really a good play, and I just had really wonderful comments from the people in the audience. You know, they came up afterwards and said, "I hadn't anticipated the writing would be so good." And I said, "Yes, you can stay the rest of the day."
It was really so they continue. You saw the debut. Were they continuing to stage it?
No, it only ran the one weekend.
Just the one weekend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm ready now. Well, we videotaped it, so I'm planning to pitch it to other places.
And yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
I'd like to see it done with professional actors. It'd be really a trip next, you know, to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really fun. I've got one more song I think I'm going to add to it, too. I've got an idea for a song on the way home.
Yeah. Do you want to share another little song from Little Red Riding Hood now, if you got something in mind, or we can keep talking about something else if you wanted to share anything else from it?
I don't really. I mean, I've kind of told you about it. I mean, about the
that's fine.
Other stuff. I think it's probably better to go on to something else.
Okay.
You know,
So now do you have the bug to write more plays? Go back and dust off that theater degree, and now that you've...
Yeah, I mean,
what's the term you've gone? You've brought it to the boards, or what is the theater term for what you? I don't know.
I don't know either.
You staged it. You did something.
I'm a thespian.
And now you're a thespian. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a playwright, and it's just I've got some interest from another place there, a casual interest. I mean, I don't know if they, you know, not like specific. Yeah, we'd like to have it. But.
Well, let me just ask you this, and then we'll talk for a few more minutes, and then we're going to take another little break, and then we'll come back and definitely talk about songwriting, and I'd love to share a couple songs at least. When did you first realize that you were a writer or wanted to be a writer? How young were you when you got the idea that you could write or you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I wrote my first cowboy poem when I was in the second grade. It's actually the only cowboy poem I've ever written.
Cool. Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear it. Well, yeah.
See, it was, the prairie was his mattress, his pillow was a stone, a distant coyote on a hill, the lullaby he'd known. It surely is a tough life. It really was so rough. But you know TV cowboys, they can take it because they're tough.
Yeah, that's good. Second grade?
I wrote it for my dad.
Oh, how nice. Yeah.
I didn't know anything about cowboy poetry. I just was writing a poem.
Yeah.
Mother said I wrote all the time when I was little. She said I was, mostly it was about having to do dishes when it wasn't my turn, but she said I would write her letters. We lived in the same house, you know, but I would,
yeah.
It was always easier for me to put it on paper, you know.
So when did songwriting come into your life? Were you writing, letters, you were writing that poem?
I
picked
up the guitar at 15.
Okay.
I think I was 15 years old when I picked up the guitar. And it wasn't too long after that before I wrote a song, but I don't have any idea what it was even about, let alone whether or not it was any good. I do know that I wrote another one on Cape Cod that first year I played music for a living, and I know it was probably pretty bad. I think I was in my angst, young girl, how could you do that to me kind of period.
Mm-hmm.
And girls have, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart is broken and you're healed, you know.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then I did write poetry when I was in high school a lot. And then when I got, not cowboy poetry, but just poetry. And then when I got to writing songs, my boyfriend had a record deal on ABC Records, so he had of all his own songs. So he was a bona fide writer. And I just sort of like monkey see, monkey do, you know. I just kind of I was just learning to play the guitar, so my songs weren't very good because I couldn't play guitar very well. And so that was interesting. But I think I really got, really went down the rabbit hole when I moved to L.A. I lived in San Jose. That's where I'd done the weather on TV and where I met him. And we were together about 3 years. And then we broke up. And I went out and spent the summer on Cape Cod by myself without him. And then I moved to L.A. after that. I didn't want to go back to San Jose because he'd met a girl and he was hanging out with her and didn't want to see that. And so I moved to L.A. And then I met some other people that were writing songs, and I won some songwriting competitions that were there, and I ended up finally I got the courage to take my songs down to Hollywood, and everybody I played my songs for said, you need to go to Nashville, your country.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's do this. We do have time before we take a break. Why don't you treat us to one of your songs?
Okay. I think I'll do, maybe I'll do the song I won Kerrville with.
Okay. And for posters who don't know, Kerrville is a folk festival that's quite well respected and has a songwriting competition. If you win that, you have won something big. And Claudia did.
700 All right. and something entries. Gotta move my guitar forward because I don't have it plugged in. This is a mostly true story. Old J.C. was a laborer. He worked for my dad. He had big old hands and a big old laugh. You should have seen the grin he had. Well, I remember one time when he and his brothers helped Daddy pour a patio. I was a regular tomboy then. Kid about 8 years old. He took off his shirt to work in the noonday sun. So So I took off mine till he said, put yours back on. With a child's eyes I couldn't see why anyone wouldn't like old J.C. If God could have grinned, he'd have grinned at me. Just like old J.C. J.C. worked in town a week. On weekends he was Dad's right hand. We had 25 cows, 3 horses, a dog, and 100 acres of land. And I had a calf I called Maverick, 'cause he had no mama at all. I raised him up all summer. Dad sold him off in the fall. When the meat truck came to get him, my innocence died. With J.C.'s hand on my shoulder, we both cried. With a child's eyes, I couldn't see why anyone wouldn't like old J.C. If God could have cried, he'd have cried. Just like old J.C. Well, Saturday we go into town after something my mom had won. And we'd stop for breakfast at this place called Sambo's Restaurant. They had tigers on the menu and a boy that looked like J.C. And a waitress there with copper hair made a rag doll for me. It was a little black monkey in a little red vest with the initials J.C. on his chest. With a child's eyes I couldn't see why anyone wouldn't like old J.C. If God had a grin, he'd have grinned at me. If God could have cried, he'd have cried with me. If God has a face, then it's bound to be a face like old J.C. Well, he's got a face just like old J.C.
Oh, Claudia, that's beautiful. I've heard that many, many times, and it doesn't get old. That's a wonderful, okay. Wonderful song, and that's really good. So let's do this. We got to go to a commercial from good folks at Out West, and then we'll come back, and then I want you to we'll talk a little bit more, and we'll sing some more songs. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
There you go. All right. So I wanted to ask a little bit before we do another song. Do you write on any particular schedule? Do you write at a particular time of day? Whenever?
No, I don't have time. My friend Slade Cleaves says, I don't have time to write a bad song. And the songs demand to be written or they don't get written. I mean, the song I just played, J.C., I was up in the attic and I had found a bunch of stuff that was in this box, and it was old toys. And my Betsy Wetsy was in there, and her head had cracked, and body'd all shriveled up and melted. It was rubber, some kind of deal that aged not as well. And I started thinking about all these toys I had as I was driving around town, and I thought about that monkey. I was saying, I wonder what happened to that monkey. And then I went, whoa. because it never dawned on me as a child, you know, like the song says, right. With a child's eyes, I couldn't see. I remember when J.C. gave it to me, that really happened. There was a waitress. We used to stop at the Sambos and get breakfast on the way to the ranch. And the waitress there, I think she's from like Alabama or something, she had a real thick southern accent, and she gave that monkey to J.C. It was a black monkey made out of socks, you know?
Yeah.
And he gave it to me, and I said, don't you want to take this home to your boy? Because, I mean, I had no idea what...
Yeah, you were...
...thing about racism, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's okay, honey, you can have it.
And yeah.
So I wasn't until, I mean, I can, you know, fast forward about 30 years, you know, and here I am and I'm driving down the street and I actually pulled over on the side of 440 and wrote the song. I mean, yeah. it just started tumbling out.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was like, I didn't see that as a child. I didn't get that as a child. I didn't understand that. You know, I was shocked. I was shocked. I grew up in Palo Alto in Santa Clara, and then we ranched weekends, so out in San Joaquin Valley in the weekends. And I just didn't think that I was exposed to any racism there. So stupid and naive, but I just thought racism was something that only happened in the South.
Yeah. So before we run out of time, tell me about the inspiration behind Lucky Girl, title cut of your latest album, which is... Mm-hmm. Really, really good. How did Lucky Girl come about? And then can you share some with us?
Sure.
Either the whole thing or some part of it?
Yeah. I was going to the movies and I was going to go hear this Meryl Streep movie, and I ran into John Prine. He was coming out of the theater with his wife Fiona, and I said, John! And I could see his face doing that thing that mine used to do when I was on television. People would think they knew me because I was in their living room every night. He was doing that. Okay, obviously I know this girl now. What is her name and where do I know her from? And he's, you know, and I could see that going on in his face. And I said, relax, you don't know me. He laughed and he said, I don't. And I said, no. I said, I just was really excited to see you because I said, you know, I'm a songwriter and you've been a huge influence. And he said something no other star has ever said to me. He said, how's it going for you?
Oh.
Only person in my whole career who's ever asked me how I was doing. And I said, well, I said, I'm not, you know, playing venues the size you are, but I'm making a living singing my own songs. And he said, well, you're quite a success then, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm a pretty lucky girl. And then that stuck in my mind. And then I went up to Granora, North Dakota, where probably most of your listeners have no idea where I'm talking about. It's about 20 miles from Canada and about 8 miles from Montana. From my grandparents' hometown, Bicentennial was a few years back. And I had this whole box of letters that were written in Norwegian, and my mother had typed them out the translation and stapled them to these yellowed pieces of paper that were these letters that came in the 1800s. And written in Norwegian. And so I read these letters and went, holy cripe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my family had it really rough. And it just all sort of swirled around in here with the lucky thing, you know, that I'm lucky. You know, John Adams said, I am a soldier that my son may be a poet. And I thought to myself, that's what happened here. You know, my great-grandparents came to this country and struggled like crazy, and then so I could do this.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Claudia is a songwriter, a storyteller. The recorded version is 3 minutes 11 seconds, and I think you could probably fit the whole thing in before we run out of time. Okay. Well, you do the whole thing or some part of it, and then so here's Lucky Girl.
My great-great-great-granddaddy on my mama's father's side went a-rowing down the Norway coast with four friends and his bride when a big storm came around and all his four friends drowned and there wouldn't be a me. But when he rose up from the sea to gasp for air, why, he had great-great-great-grandmama by the hair. And my great granddaddy on my mama's side. Homesteaded in North Dakota back in 1885. He built a house of earth where his wife gave birth. Then diphtheria hit town and took four of their kids down. The ground was froze. Couldn't bury them till springtime flowers rose. And I complain about the weather. I complain about warm beer. I complain I'm getting older. When I'm lucky, I'm still here. I complain about the driving. And you know that that's just wrong. When I get to where I'm going, I get paid for singing songs. I complain about no boyfriend when I'm loved around the world. Oh, the truth is I'm a lucky, 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 lucky girl. And then there's my grandmother on my father's side, married to a man who drank. She had to leave behind. She raised her kids alone, worked her fingers to the bone, washing other people's floors. She was so damn poor, that's what you do. When you got kids and all they've got is you. And I complain about the weather. I complain about warm beer. I complain I'm getting older. When I'm lucky, I'm still here. I complain about the driving. And you know that that's just wrong. When I get to where I'm going, I get paid for singing songs. I complain about no boyfriend a lot. When I'm loved around the world. Oh, the truth is I'm a lucky, 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 lucky girl. Yeah, the truth is I'm a lucky, 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 lucky girl.
Yeah, wonderful. Really, really nice. You are a lucky girl. Yeah. So, well, we are going to end this show in about 3 minutes. So I want to come back to make sure people know how to find you and whatever. We'll promote your website here in a minute. But I want to make mention of next week's show, October 19th. Jim and Bobby Jean will be back and hosting. And their guests next week are an author team of Sue Boggio and Mare Pearl. And they're going to discuss their new novel, Hungry Shoes. So you want to tune in next week to hear what that's all about. So folks that are interested in finding you, Claudia, your website is?
ClaudiaNygaard.com, which is spelled C-L-A-U-D-I-A, N like Nashville, Y-G-A-A-R-D. You have to put in both A's.
Both A's, ClaudiaNygaard.com. And real quick, what do you have coming up that people...
I'm about to go to the farm, the Folk Alliance Regional Midwest Conference next weekend. I'm leaving Wednesday for that. And then I am staying home for the whole winter. I'm going to be home until March. I'm sort of put myself on restriction.
Okay.
I have been trying to get this Western album recorded for how many years now? I mean, all the way through COVID, and I didn't record a thing. So I am making that my number one priority. And my second priority is going to be Little Red Riding Hood. I want to make a recording of Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, and good.
I've also got like 6 Christmas songs I've written.
Wonderful. So, well, I'm hoping that self-imposed sequester, you're going to sequester yourself or whatever, yeah. And that should be productive. I look forward to hearing the product of that, and I'm looking forward to when our paths cross again. I'm sure they will.
I'll see you in November.
In Albuquerque. That's right. International Western Music Association. Yeah, we'll both be there. We'll both be on stage there. That'll be wonderful. When you said you were staying home all through the winter, I thought you meant you changed your plans. Yeah, you're going to do that.
From after all right. WMA.
Then good.
For the winter, but
all right. Well, I want to thank Sam, the engineer back in LA, for pushing the buttons. Thanks, Jim and Bobby Jean Bell, and my guest tonight, Claudia Nygaard. Rendezvous with a Writer out west. Good night, all.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.